Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're tackling a topic that's super important for anyone who opens up the Bible, the idea of application.
Right.
We're going deep into Lecture 27 from Dr. Dave Mathewson's hermeneutics course.
Okay.
And honestly, he had some pretty thought-provoking insights that go way beyond, you know, just like tacking a moral on at the end of a Bible story.
Yeah, Mathewson really challenges the way that we think about applying, you know, these ancient texts to our modern lives.
Right.
He argues that it's not just about finding a neat little lesson, but about understanding how these eternal truths in Scripture can shape how we live today.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
But it also kind of raises a tricky question for me.
Yeah.
How do we bridge that gap between those ancient contexts and our world?
Right.
Because, I mean, the Bible was written in very different times and cultures.
Yeah. And that's where things get really interesting.
Right.
Mathewson uses a really great example to kind of illustrate this point. Imagine a pastor standing in his pulpit and announcing to his congregation that God is leading him to move to Colorado.
Okay.
Because according to Haggai, the Bible talks about mountains.
Wait, what? That's hilarious, but also kind of alarming.
Yeah.
What was the passage actually about?
Well, the passage in Haggai was actually focused on rebuilding the temple.
Oh.
Not about, you know, finding a scenic view.
Right.
This pastor kind of got so caught up in finding a personal message that he completely missed the original meaning.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So context is key, I guess, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Understanding the historical, cultural, and even literary context is super crucial for proper application.
Okay.
Mathewson also brings up Psalm 127:3-5.
Okay.
Which is often used to encourage large families.
Yes.
Because it compares sons to arrows in the hands of a warrior.
Okay. I've definitely heard that one used that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the historical context, sons were essential for defense and legal representation.
Right, right.
Which is a far cry from our world today.
Yeah.
So without that context, we kind of risk, you know, twisting the scriptures to fit our own agendas.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
So how do we make sure that we're not just cherry picking verses to support our own ideas?
Right.
How can we be confident that we're truly grasping the timeless principles within these texts?
Well, Mathewson introduces a three-step method that I think is really helpful.
Okay.
First, we have to understand the text in its original context.
Okay, that makes sense.
Just like we were talking about with the pastor in the mountains.
Right, right, exactly.
What's the second step?
What's the second step?
Well, the second step is to identify the underlying principle that transcends the original situation.
Okay.
For example, in 1 Corinthians 8 and 9.
Okay.
Paul talks about being willing to give up his right to eat meat offered to idols to avoid causing other Christians to stumble.
Right.
So what's the timeless principle there?
What's the timeless principle there?
The principle is about being willing to sacrifice our own preferences or rights for the sake of the gospel and the well-being of others.
Right.
It's about putting others before ourselves.
Yeah, that's a powerful principle.
Right.
So the third step must be figuring out how that applies to our lives today.
Exactly. The third step is taking that principle and thoughtfully applying it to our modern context.
Mm-hmm.
We have to ask ourselves,
yeah,
what might this look like in my life?
Mm-hmm.
What am I being called to sacrifice for the sake of others?
Okay. But doesn't that make application really subjective?
Yeah.
How can we be sure we're applying the text correctly if there's no one-to-one correlation between the ancient situation and our own?
That's a great question, and it's where things can get a little tricky.
Okay.
Mathewson emphasizes that this isn't a rigid formula.
Okay.
It's an ongoing conversation between the reader, the text, and the modern context.
Right.
It requires careful thought, creativity, and a willingness to constantly test our interpretations against the broader context and intentions of Scripture.
So it's not just about finding the principle.
Right.
It's about allowing that principle to actually change the way we live.
Absolutely.
It's about obedience, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Knowledge without action is meaningless.
Right.
Mathewson reminds us that application isn't just theoretical. It's about allowing God's word to transform us from the inside out.
Yeah.
It's about putting those principles into practice.
He also stresses that this whole process should happen within the context of the church.
Right.
The community of believers.
Yes.
We're not meant to figure this stuff out in isolation, right?
That's such a crucial point.
Yeah.
We need the support, the guidance,
right,
and diverse perspectives of other believers to help us navigate this journey.
Speaking of diverse perspectives, Matthewson tells a really fascinating story about how his understanding of the Book of Revelation was completely transformed after hearing from his students who came from countries where persecution is a daily reality.
Yes. Matthewson used to read Revelation through the lens of his own relatively comfortable life, focusing on, his, minor struggles and anxieties.
Right.
But listening to his students' experiences of real suffering helped him to see the text from a completely different angle.
I can see how that would be a game changer.
Right.
So instead of focusing on his own comfort, he started asking himself how he might be contributing to the suffering of others and how he could work to alleviate that suffering.
Exactly. It's a powerful example of how broadening our horizons and listening to voices from diverse cultures and backgrounds can enrich our understanding of Scripture and challenge our assumptions.
Okay, so we've talked about the importance of context,
right?
The principal Dullinizing method and the role of the church and diverse perspectives and application.
Right.
Where do we go from here? Well, how do we tie all of this together?
I think Matthewson does a brilliant job of weaving all of these threads together in his analysis of Ephesians 2:1-2. It's a passage that speaks volumes about the power of reconciliation and the radical inclusivity of the gospel.
And it's got that striking temple imagery that Matthewson uses to kind of drive home the point about application.
Right.
He talks about how Jew and Gentile, once separated, are reconciled in Christ and together become the temple where God dwells.
It's a remarkable image, isn't it?
It is.
It completely reframes our understanding of what a temple is.
Right.
It's not just about a physical building, but about a community of reconciled people.
Right.
United in Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit.
It's like we become the dwelling place of God.
Yeah.
And that's not just some abstract theological concept.
Right.
It has real implications for how we live our lives.
Absolutely.
How we relate to each other and how we engage the world around us.
Absolutely. If we are the temple, how does that change the way we view our relationships? How does it impact our understanding of justice and our responsibility to care for the marginalized and oppressed? These are big questions that Matthewson leaves us wrestling with.
Yeah.
So how does this all connect to the big picture of salvation history?
Right.
That overarching story of God's plan to redeem humanity?
Yeah, how does that?
Well, Matthewson reminds us that Ephesians 2 is just one chapter in this epic saga of redemption, a saga that begins in the Old Testament and finds its climax in the glorious vision of the New Jerusalem in Revelation.
Okay.
And that's where we see this temple imagery come full circle.
Yeah.
In Revelation 21 and 22, we see a new creation where God dwells in the midst of his people, a people drawn from every tribe and nation.
Yeah.
It's a picture of ultimate unity and reconciliation, a fulfillment of the promise that we see unfolding in Ephesians 2.
So much to unpack here. I'm curious what stands out to you as like the most important takeaway from this part of the lecture.
What really strikes me is the dynamic nature of application.
Okay. It's not a one and done process. It's a lifelong journey of wrestling with the text.
Right.
Allowing it to shape our worldview, our relationships, and our actions in the world. It's about moving beyond intellectual understanding to actually living out these truths.
Right.
Embracing the challenge of obedience and allowing God's word to truly transform us.
It's definitely not about finding easy answers or twisting scripture to fit our own comfort zones.
Yeah.
It's about engaging in an honest and ongoing dialogue with these ancient texts and allowing them to challenge us, stretch us, and ultimately transform us.
And Matthewson emphasizes that transformation should be visible not just in our personal lives, but also in how we interact with the world around us.
Right.
If we are the temple of God, then our actions should reflect the love, the grace, and the justice that flow from his presence within us.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah.
So it's not just about inward change, but outward action as well.
But how do we know if we're applying the text correctly?
Yeah.
Isn't there a risk of misinterpreting things and ending up with a like distorted view of what God wants from us?
That's a valid concern, and it's where humility and a willingness to learn from others becomes so important.
Okay.
Remember Matthewson's story about his students in the Book of Revelation? That highlights how crucial it is to listen to the voices of believers from diverse cultures and backgrounds.
Right. It's easy to get stuck in our own little bubbles and miss the bigger picture.
Yeah.
We need those different perspectives to challenge our assumptions and help us see things from a fresh angle.
Exactly. And Matthewson argues that this is particularly important when it comes to applying scripture.
Okay.
He points out that our own cultural biases can blind us to certain aspects of the text.
Can you give an example of that?
Sure.
How can our culture affect the way we read and apply the Bible?
Well, let's consider the concept of salvation history.
Yeah.
For those unfamiliar, it's essentially the grand narrative of the Bible, the story of God's plan to redeem humanity.
Starting in the Old Testament and finding its fulfillment in Christ.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So how does culture play into that?
Well, depending on our cultural background, we might emphasize certain parts of that story over others.
Cool.
For example, Western cultures often focus on individual salvation, while many Eastern cultures emphasize the communal aspects of redemption.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So our cultural lens can shape which parts of the Bible resonate most strongly with us,
right,
which can then influence how we apply those teachings to our lives.
Precisely. And that's why it's so important to be aware of our own cultural biases.
Right.
And to actively seek out diverse perspectives. It helps us gain a more holistic understanding of scripture,
yeah,
and avoid misapplying it in ways that might be harmful or even unbiblical.
So Matthewson is advocating for a kind of cross-cultural hermeneutics.
Yes.
It sounds pretty revolutionary.
It is. And he argues that it's not just about academics.
Okay.
It's about the health and vitality of the church.
He believes that listening to the voices of believers from around the world can lead to a richer, more nuanced understanding of God's word,
mm-hmm,
and help us apply it in ways that are relevant to our increasingly globalized world.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm thinking back to the temple imagery in Ephesians 2.
Yeah.
If we as the church are the temple of God,
uh-huh,
then surely that temple should reflect the diversity of his creation, right?
Exactly. And the diversity isn't just about ethnicity or nationality.
Mm-hmm.
It's about different life experiences, perspectives, and ways of understanding God's word.
So how do we practically go about incorporating these diverse perspectives into our own study and application of the Bible? Any tips for our listeners?
One practical step is to seek out resources and commentaries written by theologians from different cultures and backgrounds.
Okay.
There are some incredible scholars from Africa, Asia, and Latin America who offer fresh insights into familiar passages.
And I imagine simply engaging in conversations with people from different backgrounds can be incredibly enriching. Sharing how we understand and apply scripture can open up a whole new world of understanding.
It's about being humble enough to admit that we don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
And being open to learning from others.
Matthewson is really challenging us to move beyond our comfort zones, isn't he?
He is.
He's pushing us to be more intentional and thoughtful in the way we approach scripture.
He is. And it's not always easy.
Right.
It requires a willingness to wrestle with difficult questions,
mm-hmm,
to challenge our assumptions,
yeah, right,
and to be open to the possibility that God might be speaking to us in ways we haven't considered before.
So it's about more than just reading the Bible.
Right.
It's about letting the Bible read us.
Absolutely.
It's about allowing God's word to penetrate our hearts and minds,
yeah,
and shape the way we see ourselves, the world, and our place within it.
Beautifully said. It's about allowing the transforming power of scripture to permeate every aspect of our lives. It's about recognizing that the journey of faith is a lifelong adventure of growth and discovery, and that's what makes it so exciting.
I love that it's not about arriving at some fixed destination, but about constantly being transformed by the living word of God.
And Matthewson reminds us that this transformation is not just an individual pursuit.
Right.
It happens best within the context of community, within the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other to support, encourage, and challenge us on this journey.
Right. It's like we're all pieces of this like amazing living temple, each one of us reflecting a different facet of God's glory and contributing to the beauty of the whole.
What a beautiful image.
Yeah.
It highlights the importance of valuing the unique gifts and perspectives that each person brings to the table.
Right.
And it reminds us that we're not meant to walk this path alone.
So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive into application, I think there's a clear challenge for all of us.
Absolutely.
It's not enough to just passively consume information.
Right.
We have to be active participants in this process of engaging with scripture, wrestling with its truths, and allowing it to shape our lives.
Matthewson doesn't give us all the answers, and I don't think he would want to. He leaves us with a provocative question, something to ponder as we go about our daily lives.
I'm all ears.
If we are the temple of God, how does that change the way we interact with each other and the world around us?
Well, that's a powerful question. It really makes you stop and think. If we truly believe that God's spirit dwells within us individually and collectively as the church, then surely that should radically impact the way we live our lives.
It challenges us to consider how our words and actions reflect God's presence within us. It pushes us to examine our relationships, our priorities, and our engagement with the world around us.
It's a call to be agents of reconciliation, to break down walls of division, and to build bridges of understanding and compassion. It's about embodying the radical inclusivity of the gospel and extending God's love to all people, regardless of their background, beliefs, or circumstances.
So as you go about your week, I encourage you to keep this question in mind. Let it challenge you, inspire you, and guide you as you seek to live out the truths of Scripture in a way that honors God and blesses others.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. It's been a privilege exploring these profound ideas with you. We hope you'll continue to wrestle with these concepts and discover the transformative power of applying God's word to your life.